Doing well. The other people that we knew, people, I don't know if I mentioned to you early on that we were getting tested. But they tested positive, home test, urgent care test, 24-hour test. I mean, not positive, but negative. Sorry about that. Sorry about that to two wonderful people. And they tested negative. So, but we, when Tuesday was here, we were confronted with, do we cancel this thing? Do we just do it virtually? And we just really felt the Lord said, just inform everybody that we know is coming, and that make the decision. And we'll, so there's obviously been, our God is sovereign, but there's also obviously been warfare that he's allowed us to walk through. And it's been an interesting dynamic. So I knew, Karen and I knew, I said something to Karen, I said, God must be going to do some amazing things this week, or there wouldn't be such conflict. And so I wanted to say I'm so grateful for those who've come, who've traveled to be here. And there were people who weren't here because of the COVID issue, and I understand that fully. But those of you who came, I really believe that you were the ones who were supposed to be here. And if you've never been, for some reason, if this is like, if you've never been in a charismatic church environment, if you come from an evangelical church, not charismatic, this has had to have been a shocking paradigm shift for you. Not but just because we're charismatic, we have people dressing up in dresses, guys do the Eucharist, and then there are candles, and there's all kinds of jazz going on, so welcome to our world. And if you wonder, like, why do charismatics raise their hands in worship? Years ago, when I first just took the plunge all the way into this wonderful world of being, I hate the word charismatic. I just think it's a full expression of who Christ is, and it's certainly biblical. But I had to also help bring some people along, a group of people, into that process. And so I thought, Lord, how do I teach these things? Like simple things like why it's good to raise your hands. And of course, there's all the biblical things and the studies you do. But I eventually just, this was the conclusion, because it's easier than standing on your head. Because there's got to be outlet for your passion. And it's too hard to stand on your head. So it's easier just to do this. Because charismatic, spirit-filled worship isn't a strategy for church growth and using contemporary music for that. It's so you don't have to stand on your head, because when the Holy Spirit fills you and you're walking in the spirit, there's got to be outlets. So in light of that, we're going to take up an offering. That's not a very good segue into this, but again, we are going to take up an offering. And if you write a check, just write it out to Aslan, A-S-L-A-N, Roars, R-O-A-R-S. So this doesn't go to CTK. It goes to the ministry Aslan Roars, which is a ministry committed to stewarding and imparting a spirit of revival that's sustainable in persons' lives and beyond that, so individuals. So if you send your heart to give, then we want to pass this around. Lord, we thank you for the gift of giving, the act of worship and giving, and we just pray, Lord, we thank you for your blessing on this, so that your purposes through this particular part of your body, as it were, is that you'll just bless and bring mighty expansion. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. What's that look like? Oh, okay. What am I supposed to say about that? I forgot. Okay, did y'all get that? We got business cards back there for speakers, and you want to ask questions? You know, sometimes speakers they don't like to connect, and They don't want people contacting them all the time, and I really want you to. So my email address is williamwilson@gmail.com. So what? I'm giving them access. So what we're going to do tonight is something different. I'm not going to preach. But we're going to give a chance for the Holy Spirit to do some stuff. As I mentioned to you in the first session, we see impartation coming from two directions. One is imparting to you a worldview or a theology about a lifestyle of signs and wonders. And I hope that we've done that. And that you have encounters with the Lord through the teaching. Most in my life, and I've had many opportunities for people to pray for me, to lay hands on me. God, I've had real encounters with the Lord that way. But the things that I've experienced, that I've enjoyed the most, that's meant the most to me, is when I've encountered the Lord through an anointed word that comes forth that brings life. His words are spirit and life. And so I've had supernatural encounters in all those ways. Somehow we think that anyway. So my prayer is that you had real encounters with the Lord through that. You've also had encounters with examples modeling before you and examples of your having true encounters with the Lord's supernatural encounters through prophetic things, words of knowledge, the gifts, plural, of healings, plural. What we want to do, and then some of you went out today for an hour and took it out for a spin. And from what I understand, there's some fun stories, cool stories. So what I want to do is take a little time, to share some testimonies. But here's the deal. They've got to be like 2 or 3 minute testimonies. Okay? We have a really angry person just outside that door. He's like 6'8" and weighs like 375 pounds. And he will come and pull you out that door if you go over 3 minutes. Because we want to have more people to have more opportunities. And Dan and Deborah, it's good to see. I think they just now got back from lunch. And when David said they just got their food, I thought, I won't see them till tomorrow, but it'll be a long time. So I want to give a chance for people, for you to share on several levels. I want you to share in 2 to 3 minutes what you've experienced this week, what you've encountered, what's happened to you, what God's done in your life. Because if God's done it, whether it's through the hearing of the word or through the gifts of the Spirit coming forth, that's a supernatural encounter. Or what happened today, some of the cool stories about what happened today. But remember, again, it's got to be just a few minutes. We have a chance, 2 to 3. Don't say few, Chuck. That's a bad word to say to people. We've had encounters with the Lord. Like 3 minutes tops. So you got to think about what you're going to say and get to the nice vanilla center part of the Oreo cookie. Okay. And then what we're going to do is we're going to pray some group prayer about healing again. I've got some words of knowledge, and I think there may be some others. And then we're going to do another expression of impartation for the stirring up of all this stuff inside of you supernaturally. Okay? We'll get to that part when it's time. So, I'm going to go up here, and I don't know why I'm going up here. It's just the Lord said to go up here. I just got a text from somebody in Georgia who has been watching it over live stream and said, I'm so thankful that I'm on the journey with you. Me too. Okay, who wants to share their short story about what either you've experienced this week, what God's done touching your life in a supernatural way, or what happened today when you went out to pray for people? Alrighty? Here's a cool thing about testimony. It says that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. And every time you give a testimony of what Jesus has done, it becomes a prophetic word launched out to people, what they can do, what they can move in, what they can walk in, and what they can experience themselves. Okay? So let me ask that we're going to start. No, let's just do that. Let's just start there. So who wants to come first? Come on, Father Talk. And if you're saying, I'm scared to go out there and share a testimony, if you pass the test today going out into the streets, then this is nothing, okay? You can do this.
In the Army, they tell you, don't volunteer for anything. The only time I volunteered, I got a three-hour pass to go have a beer. So. In 2016, a ministry trip that Bishop Charles had put together went on a mission trip without him. He decided to lay out. We went to Tanzania. And the day that we left our hotel to move to the ministry site, there was a fish eagle soaring around the hotel. The day we finished the ministry, there was a fish eagle flying around. And it's just as uncommon to see one there as it is to see one here in Selma. As I got on an airplane in Dallas to make this trip, watching the wings expand and contract as they do to change the cord for wind speed and lift, and the verses that Bishop Chuck started this conference with from Genesis 28 about angels ascending and descending came to my mind. Coupled with that was something out of Proverbs 30 about snow on the peaks. Every day we were in Tanzania, according to the weather report, snow fell on Mount Kilimanjaro. It's the only place in Africa with snow. Birthing comes to those who are expecting. And those were the signs and wonders that we got to move in. It's an amazing trip. We missed the bishop. Better luck next time. There have been some encounters in the ministry trips that I've been privileged to come along with. I'll give you two examples. There's a little place in Tanzania, we have a bishop who's housed there, it's called Hombolo. And it's a little wayside town. And on the way into town, there's a little cafe on the left. And as we arrived in town, a lady was out serving her customers. And anyway, she was easy to spot from a long way off. She was wearing really extravagantly loud colors. Didn't know who she was. Time came to do the ministry, laying on of hands, do the stuff, as John Wimber said. And this lady was presented to me. And I've got a very, very simple process. What is your name? What may I pray for? And, of course, I don't speak their language. They don't speak mine. So the interpreter interprets. And it wasn't until she was standing in front of me that I realized that she had been horribly scarred. As if she, in some time in the past, she'd had oil, hot oil, spilled on her. But her face, her neck, her upper chest, and her arms bore the scars of burns. And I asked her, I said, what would you like to be prayed for? And she just gestured to the scars. And I said, what is your name? And I didn't need an interpreter. She said, Yemima. And I just laughed and laughed and laughed. In Job chapter 42, when all of the things are restored to Job, he receives three daughters, and they're the most beautiful in all the land. Yemima, Keziah, Karin Hapuch. And I just got to remind her of that. I prayed for the scars to fade, new skin to be regenerated. I don't know. I haven't been back there since. But when she walked away, there was nobody in Africa, nobody on the entire continent who walked away any more delighted than she was. See, the scars on the outside are one thing. It's the ones that we bear in our hearts that are hard to heal. second story.
Bishop, this is making me nervous because Father Tuck hardly talks. And so he's going way past the 2 or 3 minutes. So what's going to happen in the rest if you get to talk? I don't know.
We're in Jinja. Jinja is the source of the Nile. Speak was right. Richards was wrong. That's history. Bishop already talked about a flame got set on fire there, and it kind of wrecked the landscape there for a couple of months before all the ladies finally went home and their husbands, who also got swept up in the revival, went home. But after the immediate ministry, this Roman Catholic bishop who was kind of touring around with us, getting shocked, he asked for Bishop Chuck to go and pray for someone in particular. Mm-hmm. And Bishop Chuck asked me to go along just for security detail. We walked down a road to a housing area, and one of the ladies who had been at the presentation was there, and there was a child sitting in the front yard in a little plastic chair, just immobile. And she didn't seem quite right. And as we approached, she had some sort of encephalitis issue, oversized head.
Spina bifida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vacant eyes, no recognition. She wasn't playing with the other children. Again, what is your name? And her mother answered, Fatima. Those of you who know anything about the Roman Catholic history, it was easy. Then I asked her mother's name, Maria. This is just getting easier. What I thought I would see as we laid hands on this child and prayed for her, she was about 7 years old, although physical development, she was about five. What we thought we would see would be a healing. We didn't. We prayed for her. We prayed for her mother. We left a handkerchief with holy oil on it and instructions to her mother to just drape it on her every day and repeat the prayers. And that child haunted me. And so she was in my prayers daily after I left that place. In 2017, the bishop and I were somewhere else. We were in Kenya, actually, and the bishop who supervises that area was at a conference, and I asked him about this child. He didn't know what I had prayed for that child. I said, Lord, for this child, not a step behind, not a day behind these other children, that she would enter into a normal life. And we asked this bishop about her. He said, oh, she went to school.
Yeah, she could walk. And we didn't hear that story until years ago. She was able to walk. She experienced healing. And she was suffered from spina bifida. And that's awesome. So that was worth the time, but 2 or 3 minutes, okay? Because I want to give you more of a chance to share. So who else wants to share? What's happened to you this week? What happened to you today when you went out? And I know you all want to share because you want to give glory to God, but not. We have to do it one at a time. Nothing's happened to you this week? Rick? 2 to 3 minutes, okay? I owe Father Tuck a lot. I don't owe you anything, so I'll be mean to you. Okay?
Well, for me, these couple of days have done what I really wanted to have happen, and it was just to simplify my life and be able to serve God without complication from religion or history, and the Lord's come through for me real well. And I have I came here with some ear problems, ringing in my ear, and just diminished hearing ability. And I've been prayed for by Bob a couple of times, and got better every time. But I noticed tonight that the ringing is almost completely gone, and my hearing spectrum, I don't have any way of knowing what it is, but it's a lot greater than it was when I came. I wasn't deaf or anything like that, but it just, I had loss of high and low spectrum hearing. And just really thankful that your hospitality has been awesome. The sense of love has been real. So I'm just really thankful for what you all have done.
Janet, come up here. Come up here, my brother. Yeah, come up here. Janet, you. Your name. Yeah, come. I want you to pray for him for 5 seconds. Command that ear ringing to go away. Okay, all the way. Okay. We'll check with you in a minute. She'll be gone. All right. Who else wants to share? Something that happened to you today when you went out, or something that's happened to you while you're in the conference? 2 to 3 minutes. That was good, Rick. I was proud of you.
As my husband's now, I've been suffering from sciatic nerve pain for the since mid-August, and any type of step has been like excruciating pain to the point where I have to take a quick shower and go running to the bed and screaming into the pillow because it's been so painful. David started praying for me as the first Sunday when we first moved here, and it wouldn't go away, but I still had faith because the Lord kept telling me it's going to go away. And a lot of you guys have been praying on it, and over the days, it went from a 10, which was excruciating, to a 7, an 8. And today, the only pain I really have is a small tingle in the ankle left. But the fact that I've been able to walk straight and put pressure on the foot, it's all God, because I have been in excruciating pain. And he can tell you, I've been in excruciating pain. I've never felt pain like this before. And he would massage it. We would do everything. I've been taking medications for him. No medication erased any trace of that pain.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. All right. So who wants to come and tell a fun story about what happened today when you went out? Yeah, come, brother.
Y'all are going to have to forgive me if I start mumbling now. I'll try. First, I want to say, too, because this is a very different setting for me, like as far as church and everything goes, but I just want to thank everyone for just how welcoming and how loving y'all been, like, because I feel like our whole group's just received a lot of love while we've been here. But, today was interesting because I get to have moments back home, whether it be at the store or with neighbors or even with people at church that I get to kind of talk with. And you can always, you know, see it right on people's face. They're just going through something. And today, like getting to go out with Mark and just approaching just a complete stranger, I think it's just a good, like, out of everyone we approached today, and I think we talked with 6 or 8 people, 2 people said that they did not want to receive prayer. And even that, I mean, it was not anything that had to be weird or anything that had to bring your spirits down. It's just a friendly no and just, you know, pass on by. But even like the people we got to talk and pray with today, it just, even though it wasn't like that fire moment, I don't know what that seed is going to produce in them later on. There could be something that we prayed today that the Holy Spirit speaks to them tonight, and you never know. So I don't know. It was just encouraging, and I think it should also be encouraging to everyone that even when we don't see it immediately in the moment, we don't know what kind of seed that produces in someone. So,
amen. Thanks. Who else wants to share a little story about what happened today when you went out? Nothing else happened? Yeah, David Emfinger texted me and said there's a lot of good stories that happened. So did he lie to me? Or did he just...
As soon as our group got together, I had a vision of a crow, and it was feeding on plentifulness. And so I was like, okay, I got a crow. And we went driving around, and the next thing he showed me was the color bed. And I was like, okay, is this a red car? What is it? And he goes, no, it's a lady. She's wearing a red. And I was like, okay. And as we were driving in the corner, this is a younger, middle-aged lady limping down the street with a bag, grocery bag. And I was like, that's her. And so we pulled over and we asked her, are you in pain? Do you want prayer? And she goes, yes, please. I've been in pain with my back. And so we started praying over her, and it was interesting because I was still suffering from my own pain. And I put my hand on her back, and I felt the warmth in my back. And as she says, and we asked her, is it reduced? And she goes, yes, it's kind of still there, but I'm a lot better. I'm like, let's do it again. So we did it again, and it got warmer on my back. By the time she was able to walk straight, I was straightened on my back. And I was just like, oh, my goodness. And then we went driving again, and we found another lady that God told me she's wearing white. And we found her, and she was pregnant with a small child. And so she's like about 4 months pregnant, and I started praying over her. And I just felt like she was telling us that she just wanted whatever was she was dealing with, she didn't want it transferred to her child. And so, again, I started praying, and by then the back pain had gone, but the ankle pain was still throbbing. So I started praying for her specifically for these demonic entities or anything that has been transferred into her family to be broken, and especially for protection over the baby. And then I just gave her a really good prophetic word. And as soon as I released that, the ankle pain went away.
Amen. Amen. Who else? Anybody else want to share a story, today's story? Going out? Yes.
I want to share a story about what it means, what this meant has meant.
Okay.
I hesitated because I'm not real sure I can get the words out. Need to chew on an awful lot. But something I've been really convinced of over the last week or so, and a lot of things through the CEC, is that in the church that I the rector for, that I had really fallen into a maintenance mode. We had a lot of repairs that needed to be done after Florence damaged the church, repairs in our leadership after some things happened there, just a lot of maintenance, and that wasn't growing the church. It gave us a place of stability, but not growth. And I just became convinced with some work that the Northeast Diocese did a while back on church planting that requires evangelism. And I'm like, this is something I'm going to learn at 67, Also, they suggested it required a young man, And so I realized there was like four things that they required, and I was only one of them, a rector, priest, And then Bishop Bates put out on his webpage a teaching on change or die. And what I've really gotten here and what he tried to say there is change can be fun. Change should be exciting in Christ, that, energized by the Holy Spirit, knowing that we're a new creation, change ought to be great. We ought to not be afraid of change. We ought to find life in change. And I'm here and I'm finding life in change. And it's so tied to some things that have been so important, because the most profound teaching that Bishop ever did at St. Peter's was on the Eucharist. And it fired up my understanding of the Eucharist, and which I didn't really grow up with at all. And then Father Mark just re-enlivened some things and then tied it to evangelism and to change. And it's all, so it's all swirling there, but it's all life-giving. And I just, that's what it's done for me.
Amen. Who else wants to now tell a story? You have a testimony about your encounter with the Lord. Now, in the process of doing this, if somebody wants to tell a story about what happened today when you went out, then you can. But who else experienced healing this week or a prophetic word or word of knowledge that was so right on, it was transformational for you? And if you do, you can. And if it make it easier for you, we'll hand you the microphone where you're at. So anybody want to share? And you can just talk from right there, Jerry.
First, there's two things. First was this week. I've always known what the Eucharist meant to me, but I've always had a hard time explaining it to other people. When Father Mark gave his talk this week, something awoke in me, and now I have no problems explaining what it is. The second thing is the past 2 years, watching all the death and sickness has really put a little burden on my soul, and I had a hard time sometimes believing that God still healed. But the past 2 days has shown me that God is still active. He is still here, and he is still working.
Amen.
And I have a refreshment now that I can carry back with me.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Who else?
Now that it's in front of me. Well, we've been coming to many conferences, and there's a familiarity that we get. We have, which is good to be familiar with the Lord, but sometimes we get too comfortable. And one thing that I thought about yesterday was when we called for healing, and I thought about a past pain that I had, but I couldn't feel it anymore, and then I totally forgot about the pain that I have in my legs because of my flat feet, and I've managed to live with it, to live with it. We get to a point whereby we manage pain that we don't think that it's something that we need to bring up to the Lord. So at some point after the afternoon conference, David pulled me over so he can pray for the other David, and he happened to have a pain on one of his legs. So as I was praying for him, I was like, hey, wait a minute, I have a pain on my on both feet as well. So I brought it up, and David Emfinger said, is one of your legs shorter than the other? He said, no, I don't know. I've never looked at it. So we sat up there, and he put both of my legs up, both of my feet up, and one of them was definitely shorter than the other. I don't remember which was there. And David took a picture of them, and then as we prayed, David Emfinger prayed once, and then we looked up again, and now the leg that was shorter was longer than the other one. So it's like, I think we prayed too much, God overshot it.
That's funny. That's right. They should have stopped when they were even. That's right.
So he had to pray for a correction. And
cheaper than a chiropractor.
Because he didn't know when to
That's
stop.
That's a great story.
So we prayed, and then afterwards we looked at them again, and they were both very close to each other, I mean, like they were supposed to be. And immediately some pain that I had on my knees disappeared. Now, later on, I'd have to say that at some point I felt the pain again, but at that point I had the confidence saying that's a false symptom of the enemy trying to bring, to bring back the previous pain or feeling or impression of pain. So I had to command it to go, and even as I go along, when I feel anything, I remember what happened up on that stage, and then I know that God still heals.
Amen.
And we should not get comfortable with our discomfort.
Amen.
It's easier to pray for other people we get used to a thing, but that's not of God. We've been given a body that's supposed to be whole. So no pain, we shouldn't get comfortable in our pain. And that's one thing I felt like when we went out to the field today, there are some people who were managing pain. And that's what I just kept saying. No, we shouldn't be comfortable with this, with managing pain. It's not of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Raymond. So who else wants to share about healing or experience or encounter of some sort? Nicholas, all right. So you know that whatever he says is true because he's an attorney, and attorneys never lie.
Absolutely. Okay. Sworn oath. Anyway, I wasn't going to tell the story because it didn't seem to be that supernatural or whatever, so hopefully nobody's too disappointed. But a lot of the time during the conference, I had felt I felt down a lot lately. Just very sad. My mom passed away earlier this year. And there's just been, I felt a lot of darkness, a lot of heaviness. And I'm afraid I kind of carried some of that with me into the conference. And it's been sort of warfare to get out of that. But the worship's been incredible. And the conference has been incredible as well. And so when David Impfinger said that we're going out to pray for people today, I was like, I don't really want to do that. I'm not excited about that. I was just kind of like, want to stay at home or go back to my hotel room or whatever. It was like way too interactive for me. But I said, all right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go out. And so I was there, and we were kind of praying for people at Walgreens. I wasn't really feeling it or whatever. But then I got my partners to pray for me. And I just said, hey, can y'all pray for me? I've been real discouraged. And I started telling them what was up. It was Brenda and Pat, who I did not know before then. And so I was talking about the discouragement that I was under and the sadness. And then immediately as they were praying for me, somebody came up off the street and asked me for money. And I gave him $5 or whatever. And we said, what can we pray for you about? And he said, I've been really discouraged and really sad because I don't have, you know, several of my family members have died this year. It was like almost immediately after I was saying that, I was like, wow. And then I thought to the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. It says, we'll start in verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So that scripture kind of stuck out to me. It was like, okay, here I am suffering myself, but because of my suffering and pain, I'm able to empathize with this gentleman who's standing right there in front of me. I was like, I know it was not coincidence that God had like literally sent him to us off the street. So, it was kind of a cool, I don't know, synchronicity or whatever the word is that. But anyway, thanks.
Amen. Awesome. Anybody else want to share about what's happened to you or what happened through you? Yes, ma'am. Wendy. You just stay right there, Wendy. We're coming to you.
Actually, that's part of what I was going to share. Seriously. I came to this conference. Well, first of all, I want to say, you have such a special thing here in this church. If no sign or wonder, the love I feel every time I come is healing. Every single time. I can't talk and cry. People can't understand me. So y'all pray me through it. When I came to this conference...
Wendy, when I talk, people cry because they can't understand me. So be encouraged.
When I came to the conference, this has been one of the most difficult years, maybe, of my life. And I felt like I was on the end of a rope, thrashing around, and I couldn't get my feet under me. I was battling deep disappointment with God, knowing He gave me certain words from the scripture and that were rhema. I knew that He told me. And one circumstance happened, and another, and another, and another. And before I could get over that one, another, and I'm still not over trying to deal with this thing. I was like, God, I know You told me this is not what's happening. And the more that happened, I just began to go into despair and confusion and battling hopelessness and depression. But I felt like I lost my way. God, help me. And before I came, the Lord provided some money to go away to a little cabin for 2 or 3 days. That God provided that. I was begging Him, I've got to get away. I just feel like I'm going to die if I don't get my head on straight. And I just cried out while I was there. Just on Your face, God, help me. And I didn't know what else to do, but I knew this was perfect timing to be here. And Father David, while I was sitting here, He said that when I stood up and having the neck pain issues, after everybody had kind of filtered out, He said, when you're standing up there, I just got a strong impression there's something about trust. Can you tell me what's going on? And it was like, it was God. He saw me. He knew. He cared. He's not chucked me out because I'm having disappointment with Him and questions and thrashing around emotionally and can't figure out which way to head. And a so precious thing to me as Barb and Tim, thank you, as they ministered to me and prayed over me, and God just manifestly came over me with His deep, deep, abiding peace. Like, it's going to be okay. And I told Father David this morning, I said, besides the Holy Spirit touching me, besides God doing that, I said, one of the biggest things is God was so tender-hearted towards me. I didn't have to even go up to the altar, ask for prayer, explain the situation, like me trying to come to God and do it. God, literally, He came to me. In that pew, He came to
me. Amen. That's
so
awesome.
I will leave here. I feel rest in my soul. I feel like my feet are under me again. I feel like God has blown away some of that confusion. And so thank you, CTK.
Amen. So do I have any team leader who went out today who's got some story you want to tell? This may be the most reluctant group in the history of the world. Yeah.
Go. Share.
Go in a bit.
So I shared this earlier, but I'll double share.
Okay.
So when we went out to the mall, we decided to go to the Selma Mall because my mom had Belk in her head and I had a hot dog in my head. And we thought, where would those coincide? I guess there would be a mall, maybe there's a food court. And the hot dog word I wasn't expecting to find, but we walked in and there was a little fast food place with hot dogs on the menu, like pictures of hot dogs. So we walked in, me and Melissa, and there were two women in behind the counter and there was like glass in between us so we could kind of take our masks down and talk and like, can I help you? And we were like, well, can we help you? And I just asked if there's anything we could pray for. And the woman got kind of a somber look at her face, and she said, well, yeah, you could pray for me. I said, so, you know, for anything? She said, health. And I said, what specifically? You know, do you have any pain in your body? She said, well, I have multiple sclerosis. And so we got to pray for her and touch her through the window. And it was really, she sort of walked away after that. I think she was getting really emotional, but I didn't know a way to test that in the moment, but I really believe that the Lord's going to heal her. And then the other woman who was with her came up and we asked the same thing. And she said that she had just lost her brother last month, and we got to pray with her, and the Lord had a really sweet word for her. And she started to cry, and it was very cool.
Amen.
So.
Amen. So let me ask this question, and when I ask this, I'm not going to then go, okay, now you got to tell us the story. I just want to know, we did this earlier. How many of you this week have experienced healing, or you've had a prophetic word spoken into your life that you knew was God that made a difference? Just raise your hand. Everybody who's that's happened to. That's pretty cool, huh? Amen. And there are others who weren't here. They're not here tonight, but have been. That's awesome. So let me do this. Let me give some words. So Rick, is it gone? Lord, I just thank you for Rick and just his faithfulness. And in Jesus' name, I just rebuke the ringing in your ear. And I command in the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ heals you. And ringing be gone completely. So how you doing? A little bit still. You guys, lay hands on him again. I put some notes on my phone. Still not used to this process. And the first thing I see is baked chicken, turkey wings, pig feet, ribs. And that's not it. If anybody have turkey wings or pig feet, then this word's for you. Yeah, David just wrote me, said, I forgot to mention to you that we debriefed after the outreach. Lots of great stories in. Okay. That's funny. So here's some words that I have. And you don't have to acknowledge this because some of them are sensitive. So we're just going to give you the words that I might have us all to stand up, and we're going to pray so that nobody's pointed out, okay? Somebody here with a left elbow issue. Hearing still, particularly in the left ear. That's the word I got again, and I forgot what that was about. But I think this is about hearing. You've something's going on and your liver enzyme numbers are up. There's some woman here suffering from endometriosis. You have for a while. God's going to heal you tonight. Somebody's struggling with floaters, you know, in your eyes, floaters. The jaw thing, what's that called? Something, Jay? What? Okay. Almost everybody in Selma, this word fits, chronic sinusitis, but I think it's particularly somebody, okay. This part between the knee and your hip and your right upper leg, and this is a funny word, I've never gotten this before, but I hear the Lord said to me that there's somebody saying, I wish they would call out my condition. And if that's you, then I just did. No, you actually have said those words. I wish they would call out my condition, because then I would believe God wants to heal me. So if that's you said that this week, those literal words, and that's for you. And, okay, anybody else have words of knowledge? Got to be quick. Da, 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 da. Yes? Arthritis in their foot? Okay. Who else? Yes, you do. Who else? Ron? What? Ulcers. Okay. Who else has a word? Go for it. If you're hearing something in your head, go for it.
We pray for four right knees today. So if you've got a right knee.
Right knee? If you have a right knee, we want to pray for you. Okay. If not, then you don't qualify for that word. That's funny. Yes, if you have four right knees. We want to pray for you in particular, okay? Because this got to be difficult to get around. You're always going in circles in this direction. So y'all shared a bunch of fun stories after you came back? Yeah, but I didn't get to hear them, and you didn't want to share them tonight. That's fun. All righty. Who else has got a word of knowledge? Chronic migraines? Okay. Who else? Toothache. Okay. And nobody has the pig feet word? Nobody has that? Pigeon toe. That's close, right? It's an animal thing. Anybody else have a word? Yeah. Okay. Shoulder blades. So let's stand. Alrighty. So who wants to pray over these people? I do this all the time. If you do it all the time, I don't want you to pray for them. But if you've never prayed over a group of people for healing, one of the things Bob doesn't need to learn this, but I'm going to teach you guys, when you pray for people, you don't know how to pray. We use the phrase, people use all the time, I plead the blood of Christ over you. What in the world does that mean? What does the blood of Christ represent? His victory over the reign of sin and the kingdom of darkness. And so whenever you plead the blood of Christ, you're pleading the victory of Jesus. You with me? You're enforcing, you're decreeing, declaring the victory of Christ. And so Bob knows how to pray for people, but I'm going to ask him to do it this way. I want him to plead the blood of Jesus over every condition that's just been mentioned.
You have to.
Or any that hasn't been for healing. And then he'll plead the blood of Christ, and he'll command all those conditions to go away in Jesus' name. Okay?
Lord God, I was going to ask the bishop to help me remember these conditions, but he probably can't either remember them all. But
you don't need to remember them. They're all set.
We remember everything. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. You love every one of these bodies the way you made it. Walking straight, standing up straight, having power and authority in their stride and in their walk. And so, God, heal every one of these conditions inside the body and outside the body in Jesus' name. Amen.
No, I want you to do this. I want you to say these words. I plead the blood of Jesus over all of these conditions.
I plead the blood of Jesus over all of these conditions.
And I command all of these things to go away in Jesus' name.
I command every one of these things to get out of here, get out of Selma, get out of the yeah. world in Jesus' name. Go to the pit, never come back.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. That's a good Marine prayer. Yeah. So, I want you to do this. Those of you who had some of these conditions, so nobody knows which one you had, you don't have to, I'm not going to ask you to say anything, but if you can tell now that that's gone from this prayer, then check yourself out. And then just raise your hand again. Right.
That is gone, and I know now what my blood pressure medicine causes me to get some kind of a, you know, I can feel some pressure in my head that it comes in waves.
Amen.
And that was what I was feeling, that tinnitus left at some point, and I was getting this reaction.
Amen.
From my blood pressure.
Amen. So again, if you experience healing, I don't want you to, you know what, I don't want to ask you to give a testimony. I just want you to raise your hand. There's one, there's two, there's three. Who else? Anybody else? Who just got prayer? And you can tell that the condition's gone? Okay. All right. Now I want you to keep standing because I'm going to pray over you. Okay. Yes.
I just know there was way more than that. That's all.
That's okay. Yes, okay. I remember one time at a clergy conference in Fort Walton, I had a word about a clergy wife who had, I think she was deaf in one ear or something was going on. And so I said, God's healing you right now. And then I kept asking, who's the clergy wife? I said, don't be afraid. And I figured a clergy wife wouldn't be afraid. They're used to being out there and doing stuff. And nobody acknowledged. I said, okay, well, we just, you know. So as everybody's filing out the building, this lady comes to me, this clergy wife, and quietly goes, that was me, and I got healed. I'm thinking, what? Yeah. If I perish, I perish, Lord. So this is the last thing that we're going to do. And it's a two-part deal. Normally we would have people come and lay hands, but we still want to honor just some of the stuff that's going on. And God's not hindered by geography. We can do stuff and without having to touch you. We saw that happen, that one place I told you, we had like 5,000 people out front and a gazillion people got healed. And without, we couldn't lay hands on them. They were all crowded in this little place. I'm praying now that there would be a fresh impartation and that the Holy Spirit would stir up in you. Here's what I'm going to pray. Because we saw earlier that the people who were filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, a bunch of them got filled with the Holy Spirit again in Acts 4. And the Lord gave me a word one time about that. He said, sometimes you have to go through door 4 for more. That there's more. And so I'm going to pray for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit in your life. But I'm also going to pray for those of you who've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. Now that initial thing is called baptism of the Holy Spirit. So you don't get anything more. It's just an immersion. My watch is talking to me. What did I say that my watch talked to me? Okay. Maybe there was a word of knowledge. My watch has a word of knowledge. These Apple watches are amazing. And so when you think baptism of the Holy Spirit, what is that? Baptism is an initiation. It's the word that means dip or immersion. And actually what baptism of the Holy Spirit as is your immersion. The Holy Spirit there's an immersion into the nature, life of Christ. Now, Christ lives in you. We've talked about that again and again. All of Christ lives in you again and again. But baptism of the Holy Spirit is simply an immersion into all that so that it's released. You've got to walk it out and steward it. You with me? So there'll be some of you that will experience your initial filling of the Holy Spirit. And then some of you will have a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, an oil change. I'm not looking for anything other than God's going to be faithful. You with me? But you just let God do what he wants to do. Now, I'm going to talk to the Lord for just a second. I'm just going to praise him for a second. I'm going to transcend what I understand. And I'm going to talk to the Lord, praise God with my spirit. 1 Corinthians 14 doesn't say with the spirit, it's with my spirit. And you know that 1 Corinthians 13 acknowledges there are two languages in the universe. The language of mankind and the language of angels. And the whole thing about tongues, tongues can be used as a prophetic word and with interpretation. That's what we're talking about. It says in Scripture that Paul said, I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than any of you. And he used the word pray in tongues. And so it's basically an angelic language so that my spirit can communicate with him. It transcends my mind. It says your mind is unfruitful. And it's the only gift of the Spirit that can be used for your own edification. It's the only one. So it does make it unique. It doesn't make it the most important. It's not even listed as the first one. You with me? But it is something cool. It's kind of like saying, you say, well, I don't have to pray in tongues to be filled with Spirit. No, you don't. But that's like saying, I don't have to get gifts for Christmas, do I? Can I just have Christmas without those things? Just remove the controversy. Just be biblical. So I'm going to pray for you. And so I'm going to ask that those of you who just lift up, who have released that in your life. I don't want, this isn't manipulation. This is just an opportunity. Can you be filled with the Holy Spirit and that not happen? For sure. But it's just a cool thing. It's fun. That's my favorite sacrament. And it's a cool thing to be able to praise God with this cool thing that's from your spirit that transcends your mind. So I'm going to pray for all of you for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to pray for a filling of the Holy Spirit. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit before, just thank Him for filling you. He's going to do exactly that. Nothing weird is going to have to happen. But those of you who have released your prayer language, just be praising God. And so that if those of you who want that experience, want to know that in your life, you're not going to have to hop around. Or we don't have any chandeliers because you can't swing from them, okay? Now, if you swing from one of those, we're going to all. You're going to be the new bishop of this diocese, archbishop. And okay, you're going to be the guy in charge or the lady in charge. Do you understand? I just want you to be, I just want you to go for everything that God has for you. Lord, come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just pray for a fresh impartation, a stirring up, a releasing of things within to flow like rivers of living water. So that, Lord, we can walk out this life of Christ that's supernatural from the inside out. And so, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, come and fill us again, or for the first time. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill us, Lord. And you just keep praising God. It's a language of praise. It's a language of praise. Just keep lifting your voices. And if you've never had that release in your life, and the Holy Spirit is filling each one of us, whether it's the first time right now, just keep praising. All you keep praising God out there. Don't be quiet. Keep going for it. The scripture says, they spoke in tongues as the Lord, Holy Spirit, gave them utterance. The Lord gives utterances, but they had to open their mouth and speak. They didn't elevate and the Lord just take over their bodies. They had to speak. And so if you find something happening to you that's different, just lift up your voice and praise God, but not in English. It's that simple. So some of you might say, be saying, think, I don't want to do that stuff. I don't want to be weird. It's too late. You're in Christ. You're all peculiar people, so start acting like it. But just say, I mean, if you go, you know, I was doing really good until that part. That just really offends me. Maybe that's the enemy. I don't know if you noticed, and this is important, we did that, and none of us acted weird or goofy or crazy. You with me? You can go for it and go for all the things that God has. Live the supernatural life in Christ. And you don't have to be insane emotionally or theologically. Though he may have you do some insane things sometimes, like like Jesus did. I mean, he was so proper. Like putting mud in the blind man's eyes and spitting on someone's tongue. That was so... I wonder what most congregations or many congregations would do if somebody did something like that. Well, I said, no, but yeah, that's Jesus. Oh, I thought we wanted Jesus to live his life through us. Give him permission to do what he wants to do. Quit demanding that it looks like something you're comfortable with. Because it'll never, all you want to live with is what you're comfortable with and you feel safe with, it'll never get bigger than what you've already experienced. You've already built a box, and that's where it is. It's only going to be. I understand that. I understand that. Almost 40 years ago, I taught in public settings why things like tongues no longer exist today. I told the Lord I'd never move to Selma. I've learned to don't do things like that. All righty. Well, I love all of you. Thank you for coming. And it's been a joy to be with each of you. You're all in Christ. Your destiny is his potentiality in you. You're called into Christ-likeness. That's not a copycat thing. That's actually Jesus Christ himself through your humanity manifesting his life. That's your calling. You all have the same calling. You're all invited to participate in that life. Just go forth into the world, knowing who you are in Christ. And in light of what this conference was about, keep your spiritual eyes open. Sniff out any demonic oppression in others. And then in Jesus' name, do something about it, because you can. Amen? Okay, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen?
Hallelujah.